أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا So we're going to start the afternoon with Divine Names of Witnessing. Did I give you those as handouts?
You did give us those.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. It's got a lot of Arabic in it. Okay, excellent. So we're going to talk about three names of witnessing. Ash-Shahid, Al-Khabir, and Al-Alim. Al-Khabir. Al-Alim. So you guys have this handout, so you can make notes on your handout if you need to. I won't write everything up on the board. So Ash-Shahid is a name for witnessing, but it's actually primarily witnessing of the outside world. So witnessing of this world is referred to as Shahid, Ash-Shahid. And then the divine name Al-Khabir is primarily witnessing knowledge of the inner world. And if we contemplate any pair of divine opposites, that will naturally lead us to a name of God whose inclusive meaning transcends and encompasses all that the opposites contain. And that's Al-Alim, which is transcendent knowledge of both. It's omniscience. All three of these divine names are connected, and each one contains the others, but with each one you'll feel something that you don't feel with the others, so they'll feel differently to you. One of them says, Allah knows about my state, Al-Alim, that's absolute knowledge. Second saying is, he is well versed in my secrets and my intentions. This is Allah's knowledge of, Allah is the aware of the hidden and the unseen. This is Al-Habir, the aware. And then the third statement is, he is the one who perceives my words, Ash-Shahid, because words appear in this world. So it's a witnesser of the visible. So Allah is the witnesser of all of these, the visible, the unseen, and then absolute knowledge of everything. So in a start, there are a few places in the Quran where Allah refers to himself in this way. In Surat Al-Anam, which is the Surah of the Cattle, it's Surah 6, verse 73. I'm not going to read all the Arabic, but it's there, and along with the transliteration. And he it is who created the heavens and the earth in truth. Actually, that bit is worth reading. وَهُوَ الَّذِي حَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِالْحَقِّ. And then the next phrase, وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ. And the day he says, be and it is. Kauluhul Hak, his word is the truth, and his is the dominion on the day the horn is blown. And then beginning with the word that's bolded here, Alimu, is, and he is the knower, Alimu Raibi wa Shahada, wa huwa la Hakim ul Khabir. So actually all three of the divine names are in that verse. Alimu Raibi, Alim is to know. Alimu Raibi wa Shahada, Shahid, wa huwa la Hakim ul Khabir, the aware.
Is that one in the one of the healings in the
Shaitan
Harm course?
Maybe. I'm not sure. Those phrases show up in other places, so I don't think so, but I'm not certain. So, raib, this word raib is a good Arabic word to know. A raib starts with a rain. That which is beyond, that which is beyond a creature's perception. Typically translated as unseen.
Is ghaib, how is it different from ghaib? The word ghaib, G-H-A-Y-B. Because I've heard
G-H-A-Y-B
for unseen as well.
No, it has an R if it's unseen. But there is the word that you're describing. I'm trying to think what it means. I can't think of it right now. Oh, hang on. You're right here.
Oh, it is
G-H-A-Y-B?
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Okay.
Oh, okay, let me look at the Arabic. Because I've got it written one way, and then I've got the R missing, so it could be one of them is a typo. So which one is it?
It is G-H-A-Y-B.
What?
G-H-A-Y-B.
Let me find it. Yeah, so the R shouldn't be there. Alamuraibi. Alamuraibi wa shahada.
But I think a word with the R also exists. I wonder, I think they might be related somehow. Sounds like it.
And he it is who created the heavens and earth in truth, and the day he says be, and it is. His word is the truth. And his is the dominion on the day the horn is blown. He is the knower of the unseen, Alimul Raibi. He is the knower of the unseen, and the witnessed, Wa Shahadati. Wa Huwal Hakimul Khabir, and he is the wise, the aware. That's what this ayat says. And you'll see this phrase. This phrase appears 13 times in the Quran. Alimu Raibi wa Shahada, knower of the unseen and the seen. Shows up 13 times in various places.
Kama.
Yes.
Is witnessing of thought part of Shahid?
No, that's part of Habir.
Okay.
And Alim.
Okay.
So let's talk about Shahid. Shahid is the witness, the one who perceives, the observer. This is knowledge that arrives from the senses, And so this divine name immediately directs us towards outer knowledge. And the root verb for shahid is shahida, to witness. But this root verb has a lot of different meanings attached to it. It means to be an eyewitness to something. If you're a shaheed, you're an eyewitness to something. So it can also mean a legal document. A shaheed means being a being who knows by seeing clearly with open eyes. A shahud, so where the I becomes a you, is one who is present at something. So you're present at an event of some kind. There's a form, ashada, which means to cause to be present or to cause to witness something with the five senses. And then there's another word, mashud, M-A-S-H. She's got two H's. This word means the present moment. So it means right now. So it's what you're witnessing right now, in other words, is where that meaning comes from. But it means the present moment. So the implications of being a shaheed mean to experience something personally, to be present at something, to attend something, to go through something, to undergo something, to testify. If you testify at a trial, for example, you're a shaheed. You're testifying. And that's where the word shahada comes from. We're testifying. When we take the shahada, we testify that there is no God but God and that Muhammad is his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to testify, it means a meeting. It also means a martyr. Someone who dies in the cause of Islam is called a shaheed. So it means to be a martyr. It means the religious shrine of a saint, and it also means this index finger. And the other thing that it means is honey and honeycomb. So there's a reason why this finger is the finger that's known as the witness. Anybody know? It's to do with Adam, I believe, asking. I don't have the story down perfectly, but I believe it's to do with Adam asking to be able to see Allah's light within himself. And the light was put into the tip of this finger. This is why we look at this finger when we're doing the saying the shahada during salat. And this finger is known as the witness. So in the divine name Ash-Shahid, Allah acts as a witness to his existence. And it's this act of Allah's witnessing of his existence which nourishes our consciousness and awareness and elevates them to higher spheres of being. Ash-Shahid transforms us into witnesses and makes us aware of the divine presence, transforming our whole being and everything around us into a symbol of his beauty. Everything bears witness to his existence. So the divine name Ash-Shahid can remove forgetfulness from your heart. If you find that you're becoming forgetful of Allah, forgetful of praying, you know, any form of forgetfulness, then you can work with the quality Ash-Shahid, which will remove forgetfulness from our thoughts and from our heart. So there are other beings that are known as Shaheeds. The angels are known as Ash-Shahid. There's a surah, Surah Al-Kahf 50, verse 21, that says, On the day of judgment, every soul will come with one angel driving the soul to the judgment and one to testify to its deeds. So angels are also witnesses. The Insan al-Kamil, so there are three beings that can be immediately described as witnesses. There's angels. Insan al-Kamil, which means Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's Allah. And human beings can aspire to that state, and it is possible to reach that state, but there are intermediate states that come before that. But Al-Insan al-Kamil is known as Ash-Shaheed, and in Surat al-Fat, 48 verse 8, Allah writes, "Indeed we have sent you," he's speaking to Muhammad, "indeed we have sent you, Muhammad, as a witness and a bringer of good tidings and a warner." On the day of judgment, the prophet of each community will be resurrected to serve as a witness. And we know this from Surat al-Nahl, 1684. And then Allah himself, herself, is described as Ash-Shaheed. In Surat al-Buruj, 85, verse 9, Allah says, "To whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth? And Allah over all things is witness." And then we have also this famous verse that tells us that we can witness Allah through ourselves and through creation. This verse says, "We will show them our signs in the horizons and within themselves until it becomes clear to them that it is the truth. But is it not sufficient concerning your Lord that he is over all things a witness?" And in this ayat, we see Ash-Shaheed in its fully expansive sense. Allah witnesses Allah's own reality. And our inherent use of the faculty of the five senses allows us to decipher the appearance of multiplicity and to reach unity. So as I said earlier, the shahada, the profession of faith, also comes from the same root. We have La ilaha illallah, which says that only God exists and that all things rely on him. There is no certainty outside the absolute. Everything manifested is connected to the absolute. This is what La ilaha illallah means. There's no certainty outside of Allah. The world is not God, yet nothing exists outside of God. And then the second part, Muhammadan Rasulullah, reflects the perfection of existence manifested in the being of the Prophet. So we know that Allah is perfect, and the creation as a manifestation of Allah is also perfect. So we have La ilaha illallah. Only God exists. So this is unity, right? Oneness. And then Muhammadan Rasulullah. Rasulullah. This is multiplicity, because this is in creation. But this is the manifestation of Allah, is the manifestation of witnessing. Allah is a witness as the one and only, but then the Insan al-Kamil is also a witness in creation. of the perfection of the multiplicity. So the second part, Muhammad and Rasulullah, reflects the perfection of existence manifested in the being of the Prophet. So actually, if you think about it, this implies fana, only Allah exists. And this statement also implies a station of baka, where there is also a creation that's subsistent in Allah. Any questions so far? Questions, comments?
The doors in the reality of imagination, do we get to learn about Baba in those doors? Do they talk about it? Does he talk about it?
In the reality of imagination book? Baka? I think it'd be better to look at the arrival book. We used to call that the Fana Baka book. So, Ash-Shahid points to the omnipresence of the divine and to seeing, perceiving, and observing all things in that knowledge. So when we recite the name Ash-Shahid, it brings a light into our heart, along with understanding and knowledge, and it brings the quality of observation and bearing witness to the divine, both inside and outside. It gives us the deep knowledge of Allah's watching us, that Allah is our witness, helps protect us from shameful and low thoughts, words, and deeds. And it also gives us the strength to see Allah, the eternal reality in all things, and to rest in the presence of the divine. Ash-Shahid will help to open the eye of the heart also. And this sight leads us to know everything that's connected. So if you're caught, this recitation of this quality is helpful if you're caught in a bad habit or a bad behavior towards others. Recite this divine name several times in cycles of 21 repetitions. And the same practice, if you lay your index finger on a child's head and recite in cycles of 21 times, it will help open the child's ear. In other words, it will get the child's attention. So I thought we would do this exercise before we talk about the stages of witnessing. Let's work with this practice. So the exercise we'll do is for you to think of a bad habit towards someone else that you're caught in. If there's a behavior or a bad habit that you have towards someone else and you don't seem to be able to let it go, just make a note of that in your mind. And we will recite this quality in sets of 21. Okay, so 21 times. Anybody still needing time to find a bad habit? Raise your hand. Okay. All right, so we'll begin. We'll do the first time, 21. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya Shaheed, 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 Ya Shaheed. So we take a break. Sit with this, make a dua to Allah to help you to break this habit and to change this behavior that you've been struggling with. Okay, let's do another 21. Ya Shaheed, 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 Ya Shaheeb, Ya Shaheeb, Ya Shaheeb, Ya Shaheeb, Ya Shaheed. Take another pause. Sit and contemplate for a moment your relationship with this action that you'd like to change. See if there's anything that feels at all different for you about it. Let's recite it again. Ya Shaheed, 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 Ya Ya Shaheed, 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 Ya Shaheed. Okay, we'll just sit for a second and just check in. See if you notice anything in your heart. If anything catches your attention around this habit and your relationship with it. Anybody notice anything? This can also be helpful for bad habits towards yourself as well. If there's something that you're struggling with, you know, giving up chocolate, you know, not eating sugar, whatever it might be, getting enough rest, going to bed earlier, any of the habits, getting more exercise, any of the things that you're struggling, any habits that you're struggling to break, you can use this to help those as well.
I'm smelling cigarette smoke, but I don't smoke.
Sorry, say that again.
I'm smelling cigarette smoke, and I don't smoke. I don't think there's a real cigarette smoke in here. It's just the name for me, but I don't smoke.
I don't smell it. What I'm smelling might be a little bit of chlorine from the pool. Is there anything I can smell?
I don't have a very good sense of smell, so I think it's an imaginal smell for me, mm-hmm. related to the names. But what I'm saying is that I don't smoke, so it's not a habit of mine, so I don't know why I'm smelling it.
Yes, so I don't know that it would be related to that, but maybe there's a message in it about something else. You know, you'll have to sit with that. So I recommend, I think I've set it as homework anyway, to practice this, to choose a habit that you're going to work with and to work with this recitation to help you. There's another ayat from Surat al-Imran, Surah 3, verse 18. Allah bears witness that there is no deity except Him, and so do the angels and those of knowledge, that He is maintaining creation and justice. There is no deity except Him, the exalted in might, the wise. So Allah is testifying to the divine power of His conscious plan through the nature of His creation. And that He's maintaining creation and justice. And that He is the exalted in power and the wise. So there are stages of witnessing. There are three stages of witnessing. A shaheed is actually the highest stage. If you're a shaheed, that implies that you've reached the stage that everywhere you look, you see Allah. So that's a very high stage of witnessing. So the first stage of witnessing is as follows. First stage of witnessing is called being a mukashifa. Mukashifa. Then there's a second stage called Mu'ayina. It's a Y. Mu'ayina. And then the third stage is called Mushahida. You've become a Shahid. So stage one, how you can describe stage one is, and these three are illustrated in the Quran. Mukashifa means that discovering and uncovering are momentary. So you have glimpses, right? And this is referred to in Surah Al-Kahf, Surah 50, verse 22. It will be said on Judgment Day, you were certainly unmindful of this, and we have removed from you your cover. So your sight this day is sharp. So Mukashifa gets glimpses from time to time. There's uncovering and discovering the truth, but then it gets covered over again. So it's more like a state. You know, you have states where you Allah reveals the truth and then you lose it. It's not your station. Then the second type, mu'ayina, there's more consistency in the uncovering, the seeing of the truth. This is in the sense of the eye by which you see. And in Surah Hadid, Surah 57, verse 4, is the ayat, he is with you wherever you are, and Allah sees everything you do. So the first is very temporary, uncovering, covering up. The second, there's a little more consistency. And then in the third, mushahida, you've become a shahid. This is referred to in Surah Baqarah. So wherever you, verse 115. So wherever you might turn, there is the face of Allah. Indeed, Allah is all-encompassing, wasi', all-knowing, alim. So this phrase, there is the face of Allah, wherever you might turn, there is the face of Allah. What does that mean? How would you describe that in other words? What is that implying that you're doing?
Looking for the essence.
Sorry?
Looking for the essence.
Looking for the what, she's saying?
I can't hear.
Essence.
Essence?
The essence. The essence of Allah in everything.
I'm still not understanding that word.
Oh, look, essence.
Oh, essence. Okay. Looking for Allah's essence. Yes. Or you're looking, seeing Allah's qualities through everything also, which would come first. Because the qualities are manifesting here in this world. So when you reach station four, you begin to witness the essence. But essentially, it means that everything that you look at, you see Allah in it. You see that this is actually a manifestation of Allah. That each person is a manifestation of Allah, that each animal, each chair, each house, everything. Everything is a manifestation of Allah, not just people. So everywhere you look, you're seeing Allah, because you're seeing what's behind the veil of reality. So that's what that means.
I have a tiny little story I could tell.
Please.
I was trying to discern. I have a difficult friend who's judgmental and anxious, and she needed a piece of furniture moved. And the person I could think to help me do it is a homeless man who used to work for me, but he has a very tender heart, and I couldn't decide if it was okay to put those two people together. I didn't want her to hurt his heart. And she had already called me two or three times, will he have taken a shower? And I said, well, you know what? He has a shower in the apartment they gave him, but I do not know if he will have taken a shower. And she's like, oh, okay. So I worked with her trying to make her more gentle, and I couldn't reach him because he didn't have a phone. So I didn't really know what to do. And I drove to the street where his apartment was, and he was standing on the sidewalk. I was like, amazing. And so I drove up to him, and he needed a ride to go to an appointment he had. So I took him to his appointment, and I took him to her apartment, and we moved the furniture, and she didn't hurt his heart. And it all turned out just perfect. And it was like, I couldn't decide, and so I just turned it over, and lo and behold, he's standing on the sidewalk. I think that's that first kind where you get glimpses, because I certainly couldn't see. I didn't know what to do, but...
No, but you recognized Allah's hand at work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, so that's part of seeing Allah wherever you turn. And ultimately, when you reach the state of being a shahid, you see Allah's hand in everything.
All the time.
Yeah. Good. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so that's a shahid. Now I'm going to talk about Al-Khabir, the aware, the conscious, the perceptive, the knowledgeable.
speak before we move
sure.
on? I keep thinking, because I'm like, I don't know how to ask this question, because I don't really know what it is, but I keep having this confusion about, like, it's like, if when you reach that stage of being the Shaheed, and everywhere you turn you see Allah, and you see Allah has things exactly as He wants them, how do we understand the, like, what, in my perception, sometimes feels like people, like, for example, wanting people to become Muslims, or, like, wanting people to, like, be living their lives in a way that they're not living? I don't know if that is making sense, like...
How do you explain people who act like that?
Well...
Somebody who wants everybody to become a Muslim, or somebody who puts their values on other people?
They're attached to outcomes, you mean?
Yeah, but I'm aware of how it's, like, sometimes that's... I'll give an example.
Okay, maybe that'll help.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I'm a little hesitant to give the example because it has to do with a teacher in the Tariqa, so I don't want to, like... I don't know if it's a question that's better to ask.
Try to keep it very general, so we're not going to guess.
Okay.
If you can.
Yeah, let me think for a second to see if I can do that. I'm recalling a teaching that wasn't for our class, so I think I can use that example because I don't know if anyone here was in that teaching, so probably. But the teacher, we were talking about something, and it was like talking about the distinctions. I just don't know if this is a good example. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
sorry.
I'm still confused about what it is that you're trying to understand. You said, when you reach the station of Shaheed and everywhere you look, you see the face of Allah,
mm-hmm.
What's the question about that?
I don't think I have a question about that, but I'm trying to understand...
Are you trying to say, how can I see the face of Allah in everything when there are people out there doing bad things or being unkind? No, that's not
let
it.
Let me see if I understand something like... You know, someone that has reached this station of the aware, that doesn't mean that the person is all aware. So everybody, so
like, we're talking about the station of Shaheed,
right?
The witness.
Well,
I know what I mean.
I can ask a question that doesn't. I can give an example that doesn't have to do with any particular.
Okay. So give me an example.
In our tariqa, different people hold the issue of homosexuality differently.
Right.
And the way that I have experienced some people holding it is basically saying that, like, Allah doesn't want people to be gay.
Right.
And to me, that doesn't square with, like, becoming the Shaheed and understanding that, like, everything is in Allah's hands and, like, Allah is present in all of these things.
Oh, so is your question, if you see Allah in everything, how can you object to anything?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the question? Because you're saying, people saying Allah doesn't want people to be gay, how does that square with being a Shaheed? Or are you saying, how could Allah object to anything in Allah's creation? So we're talking about homosexuality. There are people who say Allah doesn't want people to be gay.
Right.
What's the question from there?
Like, it just seems like that as a child, I'm confused.
Well, is your question, how could, if Allah really didn't want people to be gay, how could there be any gay people?
Well, right, that's what doesn't make sense to me. Or
right.
Like, I sometimes feel this confusion where, when people are talking about religions, because in some of what we've read about the Shaheed and, like, the Day of Judgment, in these lines, it's like, people are supposed to be following different prophets and different religions.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Oh, I see a problem. You're caught up in the cultural Islam.
I think so, but I'm trying
There's
to understand...
There's so many, so much of modern day Islam and other religions are cultural.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah, we just read it the other day, and it is in Allah's wisdom that all people should not follow one prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And we read right after Yasin in Surah Baqarah, the very next ayah is, and there is no compulsion in religion.
Mm-hmm.
So Allah created us in freedom, and Allah's given us the freedom to choose. So Allah is allowing us many things. Doesn't mean Allah is necessarily going to like all our choices. Those we're going to get to discuss with Allah on the Day of Judgment, right? But there are people who hold these things terrible ways, you know. You know, like you can find in the Quran interpretations that people use that, you know, you should kill all non-Muslims. For example, this is not true. I mean, the Prophet Muhammad was very merciful and actually made treaties with Christians and Jews. And, you know, there's a difference between a capital M Muslim that has become a Muslim and this faith. Muslim actually means one who's surrendered to Allah. So there are many Muslims who do not call themselves Muslims, but they have people who've surrendered to Allah. So it's important to try to get a sense as best you can of what is cultural Islam and what is actually coming from the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's our clean source, that's our pure source.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, so much of what comes about women has nothing to do with those, that's cultural. All over the place, and it's true for other things as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the Quran being such a flexible book, I mean, you could, the Arabic being such a flexible language, you can see how many different meanings there are to words, you know, like shaheed, and you know, you read all this stuff about witnessing and undergoing and your index finger and being present, and then you have honey and honeycomb. So for those who want to you know, there's so much going on in cultural Islam and in the world where people are choosing an interpretation of the Quran that suits their purposes. So you'll see a lot of statements of the Quran says, you know, you should do this, and the Quran says you should do that. But it's people who are taking things and using them to justify their own evil actions. But Allah has allowed us many things because with free will, Allah has given us the choice between good and evil. So He's allowing things that in Allah's eyes would be evil because He's letting us make that choice. And then when we've made that choice and on the Day of Judgment, we'll discuss it with Allah, how we did in our life.
So allowing us to make mistakes,
yeah,
too.
Right.
I think that's part of it.
Because Allah is
the
forgiven.
Even a person in a very high station can make a mistake.
Yes, the Prophet Moses killed a man. That was a mistake. He murdered a man. So there's a saying in Arabic that everything is the decree of Allah, which means to say Allah wrote it as a possibility, but not everything is the deed of Allah. So Allah did not cause everything to happen because we chose to have it happen through our free will. But Allah allowed it, because if Allah did not allow it, it couldn't have happened. So Allah allowed some people to be created gay. Allah created them that way. And in many religions, those people, it's a very difficult walking, because if you're a spiritual person and want to join a religion, because most of the, at least the Abrahamic religions will tell you that you're wrong. But you will find, if you sit with it, actually, that not only are there different opinions about that out there in the world, you have different opinions about it yourself inside. If you go to the different parts of your heart, if you look at it from your nafs, and you look at it from your heart, and you look at it from your soul, and then you look at it from your secret, you get different answers as to how you feel about that issue. So, but seeing the face of Allah everywhere means being able to look at everything and see that it is a manifestation of Allah. Truly, you know, not just words in your head, but you actually feel that and know that, that, you know, I'm looking at a manifestation of Allah here. You know, when I look around me at the beauty and the ugliness and everything else, I'm looking at manifestations of Allah's qualities here in creation. That's what, everywhere I look, I see the face of Allah.
We have a question online.
It doesn't say, everywhere I look, I see the face of Allah, and I think it's awesome, actually.
Sure.
It says, everywhere I look, I see the face of Allah. And if you love Allah, of course, then you'll be able to look at what's there through love. Mm-hmm. But some things are harder to look at than others. They're harder for our heart. Does that help any? I know I haven't answered exactly what your question is.
But yeah, it's helpful. It's okay.
We have a question online.
Sorry?
Oh, we have a question online.
Okay, let's take the online and then we'll go to you now.
Habiba, do you want to unmute yourself? Inshallah?
Sure. I just was wondering who you said Moses murdered.
Oh, he murdered... There were somebody from the Jewish tribe was fighting with somebody from Pharaoh's people, and he asked the prophet Musa to come. This was before Musa led the Jews out of Egypt, and he asked Musa to come and help. And Musa came and got into an argument with the man and struck a blow, and the man died. And then that was actually when Musa had to leave and go live off with the prophet. What's his name? It's not Ayub, Shayub. With the prophet Shayub, and lived with him for 10 years and served him and married one of his daughters. All of that, that came about because the prophet Musa killed a man in Egypt and had to leave the country so he wouldn't be arrested and killed. And that's... So, you know, in one sense, it was part of Allah's plan to bring him to Shayub, for him to learn from the prophet Shayub, to give him a wife, you know, all of that. But from the human perspective, and he felt that himself, he had murdered a man.
Thank you. I thought I had misheard.
No, it's true. Yeah. I mean, the prophets are examples for us and teachers for us. And so they're leading human lives and they're teaching us various things about being human. I mean, the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was the perfect man, you know, and had met with Allah and had all of these honors. And yet he was human, and he had all, you know, he had children, and many of his children died, all his sons, you know, his son died and other children died, his wife died, and when those things happened, he wept like we weep. He wasn't above it all. He was He lived and felt all of the things that we felt. And at the same time, he was totally in surrender to Allah, and he knew the truth. But it didn't mean that he didn't feel and have human reactions. And he made mistakes. There's an ayah in the Quran where Allah reproves him for ignoring a blind man. The Prophet Muhammad was speaking to some wealthy locals who were asking him questions, and a blind man came up and wanted to ask him a question, and the Prophet turned away from him and went on speaking to the other people, and Allah sent down an ayah asking him why he did that and telling him that he shouldn't have done that. So, you know, even the perfect man made mistakes. So, as do we all. My favorite is the Prophet Yunus. I was telling somebody else at dinner the other day what I loved about him. He was incredibly human. He had this community that would, none of them would believe him. None of them would follow him. And so his response was to get completely ticked off. He said, "All right, that's fine. If you don't want to listen to me, I'm leaving." So that's when he left and ran away and got on a boat and was going somewhere else and ended up in the belly of a whale. But it always really entertained me. I was like, I really like him. That's a very human thing to do. Right, if you're not going to believe me, I'm taking my toys and I'm going somewhere else where they'll appreciate me. But I think when he came back, after being in the belly of the whale, I think Allah rewarded him actually with a community that where everybody believed him, and he was the only prophet where every, if I've got that right, I believe that was his reward, that he ended up with a community where everybody followed him. But yeah, the prophets are examples, and that's why we study the stories of the prophets, to learn from what they have to teach us. Noor, you had something you wanted to share?
I don't know if this would be helpful for the question that was being asked, but one quote I really like about Sufism, that the Sufis believe that the act of idolatry is not in believing that the God is in the statue, but that it's in believing that God is not in everything else. So it can, I mean, maybe it's a stretch to say, but I think what it's trying to say is just, it could be an act of idolatry to think that one lifestyle is better than another, to judge, you know, to favor one thing, one circumstance over another. I think in one of your teleclasses recently, Kamala, you were sharing something about how Salima Adelstein was with Sidi when his orphanage was being destroyed. Mm-hmm. And she was weeping, and Sidi was perfectly fine. And when she asked him, "How are you not upset?" And he said, "If you saw what I saw, you know that God's beauty was there."
Yeah, and idolatry, actually, we all make shirk often because it's preferring, caring about something more than Allah. I mean, you know, that's a trap for old mothers who all love their children so dearly. It's putting, and you know, it's a trap for those who love money. If you care about something and you put it before Allah in your heart, then that's idolatry. That's making a god of something, which is what shirk is. So that's certainly true.
And ironically, even like that I think on our first day of class, you shared how some Sufis believe that God's forgotten them or they've forsaken them when life is too easy. That's also a picture. It's also ironically a form of idolatry.
Yes. It's certainly a picture I don't share. When I hear that, it just makes me laugh. I'm like, not they yet. I totally enjoy the times when things are easy. All right, we're ready to move on to Habir. You're not feeling well. Okay. Let me give you a hug because I may not see you. This is our last afternoon. Love to you.
I don't want to disrespect, but I love you guys. Thank you so much for letting me sit in. And
you're part of the class.
I really appreciate it. And I'm going to get on Telegram, so I'll keep you guys updated on what's
good.
Going on.
Yeah, keep us in touch. Okay, so Khabir is the opposite. Shahid is more about the out of the scene, and Al-Khabir is the aware, the conscious, the perceptive, the knowledgeable. This is the knowledge of the inner worlds. So this divine name means to know and see all things and all states. Allah is so helpful with our bad habits. If we wish to free ourselves from a bad or weakening habit, it helps to recite this name continuously as often as possible. Al-Khabir symbolizes his knowledge of the details of all things. Be careful with your thoughts, words, and deeds. When discussing a shaheed, we saw the outward knowledge. That outward knowledge ultimately leads the knower in stages from a place of limitation to the fullness of God's knowledge. With Al-Khabir, we see a similar kind of knowledge taking place. So this, the root of this word, this quality is and forms of this are used a lot on a daily basis in Arabic. It's really interesting once you learn Arabic. Of course, I started learning Arabic through the Quran and the divine names and everything. Then I decided I want to learn to speak Arabic, and I was really shocked to start finding names of qualities and words like kursi. Kursi is a chair or a footstool, you know? And it was weird because wahid just means the number one, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. So you hear wahid all the time in the street. And so I found that very surprising at first. So Khabir is, or the roots of this word, are ones that are used a lot in ordinary speech as names and verbs and adjectives. But in this way, this is a way that Allah shows himself to us in our everyday speaking in Arabic too. So it's actually beautiful. So Khabara means to plow the land. This is what the root verb is, habara, to plow land. It's very, can't get more mundane than that. To furrow the land for sowing. And there is a noun called a habir in everyday speech that just simply means someone who tills the earth, a tiller of the earth. But of course, that has a deeper metaphorical meaning for us, right? Soft tilled soil is called habar. Another physical plane word is kubra. Kubra. The savory food, this is savory food that you take on a journey with you. So it's savory food for a journey. And khabar is a field where a tree is growing. So the that soft till soil that I was speaking about, the habar, metaphorically, hard-packed soil is a surface phenomenon, and you break through this hard outward world of appearance in order to pierce the veil and go into the deeper, softer soil, the habar of the unseen worlds. So this verb habara, as well as meaning to furrow soil or to till soil, has subtle meanings. It also means to test something. to make a trial of a thing, which is perfect, right? Allah is trying us in this world. Allah, and Allah is Al-Khabir, to make a trial of a thing, to experiment with something in order to know its inner reality or essence, and to know the nature of its connection with reality. So we should watch out for Al-Khabir. Al-Khabir is witnessing us and testing us and paying attention to our connection with the reality, and is also knowing our inner reality and essence. So in Surah Al-Muhammad, Allah lets us know. He doesn't make a secret of this. He says, 47:31, he says, and we will surely test you until we make evident those who strive among you for the cause of Allah and the patient. And we will test your affairs, the inner of your affairs, your intentions, etc. So what's really being tested here is the correspondence between our inner and our outer state. Allah is looking to see if we're congruent on the inside or on the outside with what we are on the inside. In other words, for one thing, looking at hypocrisy, are we hypocrites? Do we say one thing but inside really believe another? You know, do we pray and say that we're a Muslim, but actually there's no prayer in our heart when we're praying? So Allah says, and we will surely test you until we make evident those who strive among you for the cause of Allah and the patient. And that is one of the reasons for the difficult tests, to see which people are patient. And we will test your affairs. To know the internal, inner, secret, mystical essence of a thing in light of absolute reality. There's a word mahbar, M-A-K-H-B-A-R, which is a place of inner knowing. And then the words habara with two B's and akbaru, who, both mean to inform someone or tell them of the reality of their inner state of which they were previously ignorant. I suggest none of us does that.
Good point.
It's not going to make you popular, and you might be wrong. So don't make pictures for anybody. We'll leave that to the guides and the prophets. But that's what that word means, to inform someone or tell them of the reality of their inner state of which they were previously ignorant. Al-Khabir deals with inward subtleties. Mystical knowledge becomes deeper and deeper by degrees, and those degrees culminate with Al-Khabir. And Allah shows this, describes this for us in Surah 58, verse 11. He says, Allah will raise those who have believed among you and those who were given knowledge by degrees. And Allah is aware of what you do. So he's just making clear that we're walking and we're gaining knowledge by degrees. For the most part, there's an occasional person like Paul on the road to Damascus, and like Eckhart Tolle, where boom, Allah just gives them enlightenment. But for most of us, Allah is teaching us by degrees. We're learning by degrees.
What was the name you said before, Eckhart Tolle?
Paul of Tarsus, Saul of Tarsus, who became sick. Paul, he saw this great light on the road to Damascus. So the subtlety of the degrees of the knowledge of Al-Habir are emphasized by the fact that Al-Habir and Al-Latif, which is the subtle, are both paired very often in the Quran. For example, in Surah Al-An'am 6:103, no vision can encompass him, that he encompasses all vision, and he is the subtle, and the aware. Wahuwa Latiful Habir. Because Latif is the subtle one, and Habir is the aware of the subtle, the unseen. So reciting Ya Latif Ya Habir is recommended for accentuating subtle openings in the realm of inner knowledge. So for example, if you feel maybe that you've gotten a little opening in your understanding or knowledge of the unseen lately, just something that's sitting there or that you're wondering about, you can actually recite these two qualities, Ya Latif al-Habir, 100 times, and that may help to continue the opening process or to strengthen it or accentuate it. So we practice, let's do that. Let's recite Ya Latif al-Habir.
That's wonderful.
Was there a question?
No, I was just missing. Oh yeah, there is a question.
Yeah. You're saying that with the K, it's Habir, not
Habir.
Habir.
Not Kabir. Kabir is the vast. Habir, the aware.
Which is with
the K. K-H-A-B-I-R.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So think if there's something where you've had a little intuition recent times, and you'd like deeper understanding of it, you've been sitting with it, wondering about it, what that meant for you, then just bring that into your consciousness again, and we'll recite Ya Latif al-Habir 100 times. Just give you a couple of minutes to think of something, if there is anything. If not, you can just make a dua that Allah begins to open the subtle for you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya Latif al-Habir, Ya Latif al-Habir, Ya Latif al-Habir. Ya Latif al-Habir, 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 Ya Latif al-Habir. Ya Latif al-Habir, 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 Ya Latif al-Habir. Ya Latif al-Habir, 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 Ya Latif al-Habir. Ya Latif al-Habir, 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 Ya Latif al-Habir. Ya Latif al-Habir, 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 Ya Latif al-Khabir, 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 Ya Latif al-Khabir. So al-Khabir is intensive. It means to have a deep inner knowledge without exception. Such inner knowing is in the light of absolute reality and is described as an all-encompassing presence. So al-Khabir also has an aspect to do with time, that past and future are aspects of the realm of al-Khabir, the unseen world. So this shows up in the fact that the word for a historian comes from this root. A historian's called an akhbari. Knowledge of the future is also a dimension, as shown by the fact that khabar, it's actually the same as this word, means future harvest or seed crop. And human beings who carry al-Khabir have a deep understanding. They understand not only the consequences of things, but also their nature. Reciting al-Khabir while you're going to sleep can help you gain clarity about a situation through dreams or your daily life, inshallah. And people who worry about the consequences of their deeds should repeat this name, and they may see the results of the action in a dream. If they're trying to understand whether something's a good idea, they can recite it before they go to bed, and they may have a dream telling them what the outcome would be if they took that action. Okay, it's 5 to 4. Any questions about this before we take a break?
What the difference between seeing and witnessing, like the Sira and Shahid?
Well, actually, it's the difference. Basira is to see through the eye of your heart. Basara is to see with your physical eye. These come from the same root. Basara is to see, this physical sight. And Basira, see with your heart, see through the eye of your heart. So Shahid is more related to, initially at least, to outward witnessing. And habia would be more related to witnessing through the eye of your heart, witnessing the unseen through the eye of your heart. But they're not exclusive, these. There's overlap, and they each contain each other. And then you have alalim, which is transcends them both and contains them both. But shahid has more relation to basara, habir has more relation to basira.
I guess my question was more about basira versus habir. Like, what would be the difference?
Well, that's what I just explained to you.
Basir
and habir are closely related, because when you see through the eye of your heart, you're seeing into the unseen. You're understanding the unseen, which is what habir is also. Habir, you're a knower of the unseen. You're understanding the unseen. You gain that knowledge through basira, through seeing through the eye of your heart.
So habir is more what you gain through basir.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And shahid begins with basara and will, inshallah, eventually, as it develops, take you in to the eye of your heart as well, to the unseen. Any other questions, comments before we break? Who among us is departing at 4? Our beloved Rahima is. Noor is. Anyone else?
Noora.
Okay, so it's just going to be us 3, huh? We'll do secret things.
Oh, no!
You could afford this.
So let's come back at 4:30 and we'll close, those of us who are still here.